welcome to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey, where it is our mission to empower Christians with boldness and courage in every place. This is Jacob Hawk, the host of this podcast. You may be sitting in your car in traffic, walking in your neighborhood, exercising at the gym, or just trying to relax after a long day, but we are thrilled that you have joined us to spend time in God's Word. For more content, writings, podcasts, and other materials, I invite you to visit drjacobhawk.com. May God bless you richly and have a great day. Welcome back to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey. As always, I'm thrilled that you have taken a little bit of time out of your day today, whether you're in the car or exercising or sitting at home, winding down after a long day, to spend a little bit of time with us in God's Word, talking about faith. And in this series of episodes, we've been talking about relationships, specifically in dating and in marriage. And I am going to bring this series to a close today here with episode 109. These are red, not yellow flags. We've been talking about things we should discuss before we go to the altar. Before I Do has been the name of this series. We've talked about the type of person I should date and the type of person I should dump, conversations before marriage. But today we're going to look at some red flags. If you see these flags do not mean slow down. These flags mean to stop, to get out of the relationship while you can. We're all familiar with the image of the traffic light, with the red light, the yellow light, the green light. Now, apparently there is not a universal understanding of what these lights mean, especially in Dallas-Fort Worth. People continue to go even though it turns red, and sometimes they remain stopped when it's time for them to drive. But in a basic world, people understand that if there's a yellow light, they need to slow down, and a red light, they need to stop. And when people don't abide by those expectations, destruction always follows. The other day, Suzanne and I were in the car. We were leaving a car wash, and we watched a wreck right before our eyes, and we both saw what was about to happen. A car was running a red light, and he T-boned a truck. It was the truck's turn. It was the car's fault. But standing there, actually sitting in our car from the other side of the intersection, all we could do was watch this destruction that was about to happen. God gives us the ability, if we use it, to see a wreck coming. And so we need to take note of some serious issues before there is a significant crash. Now, I want to begin with just a few disclosures here. Before I mention these red flags, there's a chance that a relationship will still succeed even with warning signs. I'm not saying that they never will. And the following things I'm about to say are my own personal evaluations. I encourage you to discern your own situation or relationship. This should go without being said, but in dating, you still have the freedom to get out of the relationship. In marriage, vows have been made to God and each other, and so ending a relationship is significantly more complicated, painful, and expensive. With that being said, here are some of the red flags that I think every couple should acknowledge before wedding day. Number one, constant fighting. Small disagreements don't always have to turn into big fights. And if they do, it's an indicator of that couple's inability to work through conflict. Because when serious conflicts come, and they will, how will those be handled? You might remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which just happens to be a chapter about divorce and remarriage, Paul would make the statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, God has called us to live in peace. God does not want our lives to be full of conflict and fighting. And if you are in a dating relationship and there is not harmony while you're dating, I promise you one thing, you're certainly not going to have harmony once you're married. Being married is much more difficult than dating. And if you don't get along before the marriage, you're not going to get along after the marriage. Number two, constant criticism. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone who makes statements like, you know, you really could have done that better? Or why don't you work harder? Or I really don't think you can pull that off. Do you really want to sign up for a life with someone who doesn't believe in you? Who isn't your biggest fan? Who doesn't think you're capable? You might remember again at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, when God makes Eve for Adam. God says in Genesis 2:18, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. A wife is a helper for her husband, and a husband is a helper for his wife. If you are in a relationship where you're constantly being criticized, that's not helpful. And that is not what you want for the rest of your life. Number three, troubled family dynamics. If you're in a relationship and the other person says, I really don't like your family, you need to learn more about that. Why don't they like my family? Now, what they're saying might be true, and it might be warranted, and it might be okay, but it's still hard for you to hear. And you need to know that going into the marriage, rather than learning it once the marriage has already taken place. Or vice versa, what if that person says, your family doesn't like me? Again, that's worth considering. Does my family see something in that person that I currently don't see? Maybe I'm in love or I'm infatuated with this individual, and so my blinders are on. I'm not really looking or listening to reality, and someone needs to speak some truth into my life. My family knows me much better than this person I'm dating, and they know if this is going to be a good fit for me and for what I want in life. Listen to family if they have concerns about the person you're dating. God would say in Genesis 2:24, in that same chapter of explaining why he created marriage, he would say, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. A man and woman must leave and cleave. They must come together and be more important to each other than family. But when you marry someone, you aren't just marrying that person. You're also marrying their family. And you're bringing someone into your family. And you shouldn't want someone to take you from your family, and you shouldn't want to take someone else from their family. If so, it will be a constant source of stress and heartache. The last one's a little bit more difficult. Blurry convictions or faith. In recent years, there's been a buzzword that has really worked on a lot of people's heart and their mind when it comes to their faith, and it's called the deconstruction process. People say, I'm deconstructing my faith. I'm taking it apart brick by brick to really figure out what I believe. I would suggest that if you are in a relationship with someone who is in the deconstruction process, you need to deconstruct that relationship. Now, I know that sounds harsh. There are some things in theory that are good about deconstruction. I would say, and I think the Bible would concur, that everyone needs to challenge the things they've heard before to make sure that what they've heard and what they used to believe is what they still believe now, because it's true. We see an example of that in the book of Acts with the noble Bereans. Paul said these people are noble because they examine the scriptures every day to see if what they have heard is correct. We all need to be that way, verifying what we've heard with the truth of scripture. But many times when people go through the deconstruction process, they take down everything and they reach the point where they don't know what they believe at all. In fact, some people become agnostic, or even worse, they become atheist. And if you are in a relationship with someone who is deconstructing their faith, deconstruct that relationship. Doesn't mean you can't be friends. It doesn't mean you can't walk with them through that process, but you don't need to be dating them and you don't need to marry them. There are plenty of matters in life to doubt. Faith should be secure. And if their faith is not secure, or if your faith is not secure, you aren't ready for marriage, and do not get married until it is. You can wrestle with biblical interpretations, but if doubting the existence of God, the teachings of Jesus, or the plan of salvation, you are entering a minefield. The Apostle John gave us the reason for why he wrote the Gospel of John in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. He said, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John says, I wrote this gospel so that you would be confident in what you believe. Do not enter into a relationship with someone who doesn't believe that. Or Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Listen to the confidence in Paul's voice. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Or toward the end of his life in 2 Timothy 1:12, yet I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. You want to be with someone who is convinced just like Paul, and they want to be with you if you're convinced in the same way. As always, thank you for spending some time today with us here at Road Talk. If I can ever be of any service to you in any way, please let me know. Send me an email at jacob@pressingcrest.org. God bless. Keep your eyes on heaven. And I can't wait to talk with you next time.